Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I want to pick up on the off-mic conversation we were just having, in which I stated I never wore a cup to a game in college football.
Yes. I often remember saying your dingleberries. Your grapefruit, like a division sign, dude. It's like ball, dick, ball.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but I'm going to take it as a compliment, and I'm going to say thank you.
Well, if you could see it, that's a good sign.
It's not a scared little turtle poking out.
Right. What's that little peanut shell there? Oh, JD's going to eat it whole, because you're a weirdo, and you eat the entire shell.
Yes, but I'm eating olives tonight.
Okay. That's different. Are you drinking a martini? What's with the olives?
I love olives.
Really?
I don't think I've ever made myself a martini, though. Like, that would be classy as hell to just be sipping a martini while recording a podcast. I feel my voice would have to change a tad bit to be more indicative of my rank and valor.
I feel like if you're going to have a martini, like, even if you're not a smoker, like, you need a cigarette. In your hand, just letting it burn a little bit, got the little flame coming up, and you're just like, I'll have one, please. I don't know. What do people do that drink martinis? Bankers?
I had an Appletini once.
Not the same thing.
But I had it.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Well, I want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on part two of our home improvement episode. This is officially episode 54. The last one was 53.5 or 53 and a half. I don't know. We got a little Naked Gun action going on there. If you haven't listened to part one of our home improvement podcast, make sure you check out that one. And then, leave us a note. Let us know what you think. This is the first time that we've ever done the very first episode of a show and the very last episode. And I think it's been kind of cool. I enjoyed it. Before I forget, though, make sure you guys subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and YouTube. That doesn't cost you guys any money, and it's going to help us continue to grow this podcast. So, JD, before we get into part two of the home improvement in the final episode here, let's do a little, oh, wow.
Wow, flippers and all, wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is a nice boat.
Wow, I sort of got screwed on the old bedroom selection. Every room's like four times as big as mine.
JD, what's your oh wow moment of the week?
I would say my big one is Disney releasing their statement that they are not hiring back James Gunn. Despite fan outrage, despite cast outrage, they're sticking to their guns and not taking him back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't blame. I mean, they kind of look like a bunch of pansies if they take him back at this point, right? Like, they got bullied into it by the stars because they wrote a letter and all signed it.
Especially because the second Guardians was not a good movie.
Yeah.
And I love James Gunn. Don't get me wrong. Slither is amazing, as is Super. This is the first Guardians, but not Guardians 2 so much.
Yeah, I thought Guardians 2 was definitely a bit of a step back as well. I was not all that impressed with it. I do like Pratt, or I think he's on social media as Pratt, something like that. I tend to like him. I definitely like Dave Bautista. I mean, a wrestler in Hollywood? Are you kidding me? I'm in. But yeah, I don't know where they go. I don't know. I mean, Dave Bautista's basically said if he's not directing, go ahead and just recast me. I want to be part of it, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I like your wow though.
You know, I feel that all things considered, unless they're doing an expanded Guardians universe, Dave Bautista, if you want to leave, I hope that they don't recast Drax. I hope they just let Drax leave and bring in someone else. And I feel like that's a very immature response. And again, I love James Gunn. I feel what he did is stupid, but not wrong.
So. Right. Yep. He is definitely a dumbass for saying what he did, regardless of how long ago it was and how much of a joke it might have been. You know, that's the world we live in now. People want to bring you down, right?
And I guarantee one day when both you and I are rich and famous and our 15 minutes of fame will end very quickly when our old Twitters and Facebook posts are definitely... You posted something very offensive, like in 2005 on my Facebook wall, about like a truck full of an unnamed ethnic group running me over.
Did I really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, I so do I'm just not saying, remember
like,
that.
I'm ready. I will pull you down into the dirt.
I feel like you're kind of making it up, but I also don't want you to share it and prove it. So.
Attaboy.
Yeah, there we go. Here's my oh wow moment of the week. They announced that Steven Spielberg's Hook is getting a 4K Blu-ray release, and it's going to feature 11 never-before-seen deleted scenes. Man, I'm a huge Hook fan. I know we're going to do that episode soon, so I would like to get my hands on that before we do the movie. It's going to have some, I think, some new audio from Steven Spielberg, completely restored. Let me see if there's anything else on here officially, but no. But it's supposed to come out October 9th, 2018, so I don't know. Do they want my $20 now, or do I just wait till it comes out into stores?
I'm going to wait out for Freaky Links to be released on DVD, so I signed that petition.
Wow. You might be waiting for a little while, but that would be a good one.
Do you remember Freaky Links?
I do.
That was... I had no life in high school, and nor did I have friends, because Friday nights were spent watching Freaky Links and X-Files.
That's awesome.
Is it?
Well, maybe not so awesome for you. I take that back.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Let me rephrase. Oh, that's depressing.
I knew a kid in high school who his pregame ritual before games, so night before games, he would always watch a Disney movie. Who was more depressing, me or Chris? I mean, I should have said his name.
Oh, you're just taking everybody down today, huh?
Oh, I'm burning bridges, baby.
You're normally very calm and just spend most of your time burping on the web, but now you're throwing flame.
Well, that's because I'm eating olives, man. You do not give me an olive and do not get a martini response. I mean, if I were drinking a martini.
Hey, I went and saw The Meg today. I gotta say, really impressed. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. Probably my second favorite shark movie now behind Jaws. I mean, that's not really saying a lot. There's not a lot of good options after Jaws, but yeah, it's well done. They do a great job of like waiting for that big moment when you actually see it for the first time. And Jason Statham does a great job. Rainn Wilson's really good in this. He's got some nice funny parts, but it's got a good story though. I enjoyed the story of the movie. I think it's worth checking out if anybody's on the fence. Like, should I go see it this weekend? There's not really a whole lot of great stuff out there. Definitely a thumbs up from me on The Meg. Yeah, we won't get into too much what's coming into theaters this week. We'll save that for next week. Let's get to the reason why we're here. Let's talk about how the show ended for Home Improvement. So, by season 8, the ratings had fallen from over 20 at one point, which is their peak of the show in season 3, to just 11.0 in season 8. So they were starting to lose the audience. They dropped by almost half. In the show's 8th and final season, the middle child Randy, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, left for an environmental study program in Costa Rica in the episode Adios, which aired on September 29, 1988. 1998, this was done because Jonathan Taylor Thomas reportedly wanted to take time off to focus on academics. His last appearance on Home Improvement was the 8th and final season's Christmas episode, Home for the Holidays, which aired on December 8, 1998. He did not return to the show for the series finale, which aired in May of 1999, only appearing in archive footage. JD, what do you make of the loss of Jonathan Taylor Thomas in the final episode?
I love that we are going from the first episode to the last episode. And for our audience, we did part three of the final finale. We didn't look at the first two. I understand that the finale was three parts, but we just looked at the last chapter.
Right.
And it was kind of weird to go from the first chapter to the last chapter and to not see him there. But I think that's kind of realistic to his character. But being his heartthrob status, I think they sort of missed the boat.
Yeah, I agree with that. It did feel like there was a little something missing, knowing that this is the final episode and they don't have Randy on it. It did feel a little weird watching it back. I couldn't find like a real good reason on why they decided to end the show, other than I feel like it just kind of ran its course and you get the season 8 and they're paying everybody so much money at that point to be there. Even though the show's doing really good, I think it's just, it's time to move on. We can't do the show for 50 years. Let's do some interesting facts. This is actually one of the most watched series finales of all time. A whopping 35.5 million viewers tuned in for the last episode, which places the show in the top 10 of highest rated finales. It even had more eyeballs on it than Frasier, Dallas, Happy Days, and Gunsmoke. Of course, nothing's ever going to touch the series finale for MASH. I don't know if we'll ever do that episode, but that's like the big one of all time. JD, what do you think about that? 35.5 million on the last episode.
Do you have numbers on what other shows are in that top 10? Like, what does that like land them in the pantheon of excellence?
Yeah, I've got a list. Now, this isn't like super up to date, but it was as of 2010. This was done. Home Improvement was number 10, 35.5 million. Number 9 was Family Ties, 36.3 million. Number 8, All in the Family, 40.2. The Cosby Show, number 7. Theo Graduates from NYU, 44.4 million. Magnum PI, over 50 million. Friends, 52.5 million. The episode of Friends. Seinfeld, 76.3 million. Number 3, The Fugitive from the 60s, did 78 million. Cheers is number 2 with 80.4. MASH did almost 106 million. That's a lot of eyes on MASH. Wow. It was actually the most watched television event ever until 2010, when the Super Bowl topped it with 106 million. They were at 105.9.
Who played that year?
Yeah, it looks like it was the Saints versus the Colts. I'm going to pretend like you didn't find that before me and we cut that in.
Yeah, did you know Carrie Underwood sung the national anthem? And Emmett Smith did the coin toss? And the halftime show was done by The Who. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Who are you? Who? Yeah, I really want to know. Who are you?
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What did you do with the money?
Which money? What money?
The money that your parents gave you for singing lessons?
I spent it on candy. Why?
Yeah, because you clearly did not give it to Miss McCready.
No. Nope, never did go. Let's do some more interesting facts here. According to E! True Hollywood Story, Tim Allen was offered $50 million to do season 9. Patricia Richardson was offered half, $25 million. She turned it down and wanted the same pay as Tim Allen. And that is part of the reason why they did not go on the season 9. Not the only reason, but one of the reasons. That's a lot of cheddar, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That moves from cheddar to Peppa Jack.
Now, at one point, the producers thought making the show into a film where Tim and Jill split up would be a great idea. They could have Tim dress up as a nanny to take care of the children. Sounds familiar, right? The idea wasn't made into a film for the cast of Home Improvement, because Tim Allen rejected the idea. Instead, the storyline went on to create the popular movie Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oof.
Yeah. Instead of Mrs. Doubtfire with her, woohoo, it's Tim Allen go, ho, 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 dressed up as an old lady.
I mean, I think that could be a really funny episode, but they definitely dodged a bullet.
I know. I feel like with Tim Allen, that doesn't work at all. All right, well, that's it for interesting facts. We're going to be back on the other side with the full review for Home Improvement.
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Don?
I need fuel.
Back in Time pod listeners, I want to tell you about a new partnership that we have. We've recently just partnered up with Bunny 17 Media, an independent publisher that is home to a variety of books, comic books, graphic novels, and more for children, teens, and adults. JD, tell our fans a little bit about what they have to offer.
Comic fans will love titles such as Scorn, the story of a teenage vigilante seeking revenge for his best friend's murder. Ouch. Blasto the Clown, an unlikely superhero whose powers come from a cursed enchilada. That one actually sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Twisted Magic, about a woman trapped between an unclear past and an uncontrollable future.
What about our fans that like don't read comic books, though?
Oh, dude. Comedy fans will enjoy Kevin Hates Everything, Brain Farts, Secondhand Boogers,
like Person that.
Fade, yeah. And How to Quit Being an Asshole in 5 Easy Steps.
Hold on. You're telling me there's a way for us to quit having you be an asshole all the time, and it's 5 Easy Steps?
Apparently.
And our listeners get like some type of discount with this, too?
Yes, but I'm staunch that you guys can't stop me from being an asshole in 5 steps. Bring it.
Awesome. So our listeners, go over to bunny17media.com. Use the promo code BACKINTIMEPOD. You get 15% off your entire order, only for our listeners. That's bunny17media.com. Promo code BACKINTIME, and you get 15% off and support our podcast. All right, we're back. Let's dive into it here, JD. So the show begins. Tim enters by saying, "Are you guys ready for the farewell show?" He goes to the dressing room. Al's hugging Heidi. He says he just can't believe this is the last time. Tim tells Al that Jill got a job at a family practice in Bloomington. Looks like we're moving to Indiana. Al keeps hugging Heidi. Can't say I blame him. Tim tells them it's not all bad news. Al's getting married. The VP of Binford comes in to tell them they have about 20 fire marshals waiting for when you accidentally set the stage on fire. He's using quotations because it's planned. After the VP leaves, Tim says, "They won't be doing any of that. We're going to keep it safe today." And he puts his hand down on what he thinks is a table, but it's a steaming hot waffle maker. Turns his hand badly smoked and looks like a waffle. JD, what'd you think of this opening scene?
Comparing it to what we last saw in the first season, where he is so satisfied and happy with what Tool Time is, to see what it's grown into is kind of a unique little juxtaposition. And then to see him put his hand in the waffle iron is just like, well, yeah, classic Tim.
So we cut to the opening sequence. You know, we talked about this in the first episode. I have to say, JD, 8 years later, the opening sequence still kind of sucks here. What'd you think?
Definitely dated, but gave me nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess it's nice that they didn't change it too much, but yeah, I just thought the graphics would have gotten a little bit better after 8 years. Next, Wilson enters the scene to talk with Jill. Let's listen to a clip here.
Well, howdy-ho, neighborette. Oh, my, I see Al and Trudy's wedding arrangements are progressing.
Yeah, but the seating arrangement, it's all messed up. Just like my life.
Now, wait a second, Jill. I thought you were going to take that job in Indiana. Tim told me it was all set.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we decided, but haven't been able to make the phone call. It's a great opportunity. The whole family's being real supportive. I just don't know what's holding me back.
Well, Jill, this has been your home for 20 years. You'd have to leave your whole life behind. You'd have to say goodbye to all your old friends.
we'd have to say goodbye to you.
So you're telling me to stay?
No.
You're telling me to go?
No.
Hello, not helping.
Jill, this move is a very difficult decision. I can't be the one to make it.
When I was a little girl, we moved all the time. My mom never questioned it. She'd just say, whatever's good for your father's good for all of us, and we'd pack our bags and follow him.
So basically, for 20 years, you've been following Tim.
Yeah, right to the emergency room. Now, see, that was the beauty of it. I married Tim. We moved into this wonderful house, and I got to put down roots for the first time in my life, and I've really cherished that.
Yes, but on the other hand, Tim is making a huge change. He's willing to base his life around you. I really think that's worth considering.
What if we go to Indiana and it all falls apart?
Oh, what if it doesn't and you're a huge success?
So, I should go, shouldn't I?
Jill, there is no limit to what you can accomplish, but if you want me to stand here and sell my best friends on leaving, I really cannot do that.
Well, son, I'm really gonna miss you.
So I take it you are going.
Unless you think I should stay.
Jill!
I'll make the call.
JD, what do you think about Wilson's advice to Jill, or maybe not his advice? He didn't want to say.
He really didn't want to say, and it was frustrating because Jill is such an annoying stick in the mud. It's like, Jill, just make up your mind. You don't need somebody to tell you what to do.
Yep, I agree. The final Tool Time episode begins. Tim introduces Al as a guy that's going to be doing infomercials for the rest of his life. Tim says, Binford wants us to intentionally start a fire and set this entire stage up in flames. But instead, you know, we're going to bring on the Tool Time band, the KMB boys, and the lovely Judy. JD, what'd you think of this Tool Time band and the Tool Time song?
It was very exciting because I remember a lot of episodes that had these guys in it and to bring Mario Andretti out. And it's just a lot of, again, nostalgia that they're playing on. And it was kind of neat and unique and definitely fun. And anybody that's made their way through their series is going to recognize and appreciate what they're doing here.
Yeah, I like the ending where Tim accidentally sets the sign on fire and then the fireman comes out right away. He's like, psh, psh, psh. That's classic Tim. He didn't mean to do it, but he did anyway. So we go outside to the backyard. Tim's trying to put the trash away, but he doesn't have any trash cans. So Wilson takes the bags from him and Tim says, you know, this fence wasn't here. We could put all these wedding chairs over here, spread them out. You know, we could set the gazebo up over here in your yard. So he asked why they've never taken down the fence before. Wilson says maybe we didn't want to reveal too much of ourselves. I love that part. Tim is still going back and forth. They have a nice moment here where they call each other good neighbors. And Tim gets part of the fence open and he sees Wilson's face. He says, oh, wow. Wilson's like, does it look any different now? And Tim says, well, your fly's undone. Classic Tim. What did you think of that scene? Did you think we were going to get to see Wilson's face here?
I definitely did. I was hoping that we would get to see Wilson's face, and at least Tim got the glory.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing that we didn't get to see it one time. Next, the wedding is starting to sit people. We see Marty Taylor, Tim's younger brother. JD, you remember we talked about him in Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh.
Oh yeah, good old Marty.
Yep, in our archives. They're taking bets on the wedding. Tim says, that is sick, taking bets on a man's wedding. Put me down for 100. 60 that he gets married, 40 bucks that he's wearing a flannel thong. Inside the house, Jill gets a package from Binford. The VP tells her about the big pay raise and wanting to make Tim executive producer. And Jill can't believe he turned them down for her. She gets a big smile on her face, and we move to the backyard. So the first thing we get to in the backyard, Heidi is sitting down for the wedding. Brad is hitting on her. He's asking where her husband is and says, you know, if you were my wife, I'd never leave you alone. She's like, well, it's a good thing I'm not your wife. This was a lot. Man, going from the first episode where he's this real innocent 11-year-old kid, and now in the last episode, horn dog. What'd you think of this, JD?
Yeah, I mean, they really, in the pilot episode, if anything, Mark had the most screen time.
Yeah.
And, And I don't even think Mark had a line in this last episode. And I'm not sure that Brad really had a line in the first episode. And he's the only one with any sort of horn dog application, right?
Right. Definitely. You can't blame him for the Heidi.
Well, yeah. Check out part one.
Yep. The wedding is underway. Wilson is officiating. Of course, he's got half of his face covered with the book. Trudy and Al officially tie the knot. And the celebration is underway, but not before Al does his patented, "You bet I do," and he hits her right in the forehead with his hands. JD, how good do you feel for good old Al here?
Well, I personally, from what I remember, I thought he married Eileen. I don't remember him taking another lover, so I was quite surprised. So I'm very happy for him. And is so, yeah, I mean, to see Al tying the knot with Marlo Hooch. Future episode, League of Their Own, great movie. Tom Hanks, Kyle does awful impressions.
Girls don't play baseball!
That actually wasn't too bad, man.
That was a little better than last.
That was much better.
You gotta get the growl. That's why he's like, Wilson! Dude, that wasn't as good, though.
No, stick to your League of Their Own.
So, as the wedding's going on, Jill takes Tim out to the garage. She tells him to sit down in the hot rod. He's like, I don't care if there is a wedding going on. I'm going to sit down. Jill tells him that she doesn't want to go to Indiana, and she doesn't want to leave their life here in Michigan. She says she can find a job in Indiana, then she can find a job here. The boys come out to the garage, and they're like, we leaving for Indiana now? Tim opens up the door. He's like, just get in. I'll tell you all about it. We don't find out much here. No decisions are made. But what do you think about Jill and Tim just continuing to go back and forth here?
So I do really like the parallel that we see in this episode to the pilot episode of Jill coaxing Tim out into the garage. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's intentional or not, but that's what I love about doing this first to last episode and seeing, hey, and even earlier in the episode when he's wearing like the Detroit Lions t-shirt, which I think is from the pilot episode as well.
Nice catch. So next, Tim is giving a toast. Let's listen in here.
Everybody, for the last 10 years, Al, you've been my right-hand man. And you've not only been a big part of my life, in many occasions you've saved it. Trudy, you're getting a hell of a guy.
I know.
It's a very special day. And if you're wearing a certain kind of underwear, a very lucrative one. To Al and Trudy.
Health and happiness.
Health and happiness.
Health and happiness. Here, here.
Oh, no, I just want to say, I want to thank Tim and Jill for opening up their house to us. Tim, we've gone through so much. And I want to thank you for giving me my start on Tool Time. This has been a difficult year, and you guys have been there for me every step of the way. And no matter where you go or what you do, I just want you to know that you'll always be my best friends. Oh, and Trudy, thank you for marrying me.
Trudy now.
Yeah, Trudy now.
JD, what do you think of the toast from Tim and the toast from Al?
Hey, it's very enduring and very loving. At the end of the day, even though Tim is a Tim Taylor, he's a very kind and loving man.
He's not a Wilson. Might as well be a Tim Taylor, right?
Mr. Wilson!
I like that you whistled at the end.
You like that?
That's pretty good. You're like Job, the whistling delivery guy. That's like one of my favorite episodes ever.
Got a delivery for you guys.
All right, Tim and Jill are picking up some garbage in the backyard, and he asked if she had to do it all over again, would you? She says yes. There's been some bumps along the road. There's been the possibility of a crash, but you know, I wouldn't change anything. Tim says he still feels the same way 20 years later that he did the first time they met. He proposes to her in the backyard, but she turns him down and says, I'm already married to the perfect guy. Jill says she's willing to give up the opportunity. She doesn't want to leave Michigan or this house. Tim stares around the yard, and he's like, And he thinks in his head, got a little, like, I don't know, dream sequence here, but I guess it's the real ending. The whole house is moved onto the back of a truck, and Tim says, we won't be driving the whole way. We're going by tugboat. We just need to make sure it's got some more power. I do it terribly. JD, finish it off for us, because that's the last part of the show. There you go. So the last shot here are just some outtakes from the episode, and it comes to an end. So, JD, what did you think of the end of the show and the end of Home Improvement?
I don't know. I don't know that I respond positively to them having this ambiguous ending.
Yeah.
Do they cart the house to Indiana? Do they not cart the house to Indiana? Because, and this is the problem that I have with TV shows and how they end, and this is why I hated the finale to Dexter. If you don't have, like, a solid, like, punctuation mark to your TV show, the question has to be asked, what happens next?
Right.
So if they don't leave Michigan, they don't leave, and they stay, and Tim takes the EP role at the show, there's another season to be had.
Yeah. And I almost wonder if they were still hoping that season 9 would actually happen and by some miracle they'd get them to change their mind. And this is just how they tried to leave it open-ended just in case. That's what it feels like. But I don't know. I guess the only person that really knows is probably the show creator, Tim Allen, and the writers. So we'd have to get them on the podcast and pick their brain.
Timmy A, hit us up.
Next week, we're going to be discussing the 1987 film Adventures in Babysitting. We're going to have a special guest on that show, Carlos from the Be Kind Rewind podcast. We're excited to have him on. If you guys haven't checked out his show, make sure you do that. And again, make sure you subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and YouTube. It doesn't cost you guys any money. That's going to help us continue to grow this show and gain new listeners every single week. Drop us a 5-star review while you're at it. But it is that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. Talk to you next week. See ya.